gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey!
What?
You know when you read those letters from grateful listeners about your sponsors?
Yes.
Do people think you make them up? No!
Yes.
Computer says no.
No!
I thought you made all of them up.
No! Marcus in Cincinnati writes, Steph, thank you. I recently purchased Carbonite Online Backup because of your ad. Finished backing up my computer Monday at 8:30 p.m. On Tuesday at 9 a.m., my hard drive crashed.
Oh.
My wife was mortified that we lost all the pictures of our children, but I told her that thanks to...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. We hadn't. We have everything back on our computer today. Thanks to you. Love you, Mama. Marcus in Cincinnati.
Hooray!
Somebody's thinking of the children. Mama's thinking of the children, and so is Carbonite.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Oh, it's like that commercial where the grandma is in a car crash and then they save the music from her grandchild because...
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Listen, go to Carbonite Online right now. Carbonite.com. Here's what you get. You get a...
Huh?
What? Don't list losing your important files. Go to Carbonite.com today. Enter Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. John Fugelsang will know what I mean.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is...
Fridays with Fugelsang.
City's on fire.
Back that Rose big pile up, baby. Coming to you this morning live from Green 960 in San Francisco, where I'm hoarding eggs.
Hoarding, oh yeah.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, kids. How you doing?
How did your comedy club appearance with Hal Sparks go last night in San Francisco?
Well, I avoided getting trampled by Hal's groupies, and that was my main goal of the evening.
That's the main job, as you know.
If I could get out without being crushed by the groupies, I would consider it a good set. So
now,
I had a solid 20.
Last time we all performed together, of course, with Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show in New York. How is it that...
Which they're doing again, right?
How is it that...
Stephanie Miller.
...was removed from the Sexy Liberal Show? I'm confused now. It's just... You and his sexiness, Hal Sparks.
Well, because this is not the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, which is returning in the fall, I've been told, by the man who's trying to kill you for the insurance.
Hey, we should add Aisha Tyler to that, don't you think?
Let's do it. Let's start selling some tickets.
Do it. Oh, by the way, do you have Game Over? Because you know that Minnesota Republican Party, John, put out, what do you call it, that stupid video about how Republican women are hotter than Democratic women? Tommy
yes.
in Columbus writes, we have Aisha Tyler. Game over, man. Game over, dude. Game over.
Aisha and Stephanie Miller, my God.
Whatever, I'm heavily airbrushed. Now, John, how did it go last night?
Even on radio. Oh, great, we're playing at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, so we opened the first of six shows last night, doing two tonight, two tomorrow night, and one Sunday, and, you know, it's Hal's gig. He just invited me to come along, and I was in the mood for some travel and to get out of town for a bit, so I'm doing like half an hour before he comes out and whips the girls in a frenzy. So
beautiful
club. Well, we'll see.
So do you. Hot, sexy, smart, funny men. Go see them.
Well, I had them introduce me as Katie Lang, so I looked at the ladies into a frenzy. But no, it's a great room, and if you're in San Francisco this weekend, you want to have the smartest, funniest, most deviant thing you can do, legally, come see us, because it's a really solid evening. Even if Stephanie's not here, we're keeping a stage warm for you.
And it's probably...
I'm trying to maintain my aura of mystery.
Yes. And it's probably a little chillier in San Francisco than you're used to.
Oh, my God, it's great. It's fantastic. I'm walking around, and my nipples are hard.
Well, hello.
It's as foggy as Rod Blagojevich's recollections appear.
I have my high beams on right now in honor of you. Now, StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Is the YouTube of me on the Joy Behar show up?
Yes, it is.
Could Mancow be any more annoying, louder, or talk more? No.
Computer says no.
We were talking about the Dr. Laura thing. We'll get into all that with you, John, but I just...
Yes, let's.
I...
And the
Dr.
Sarah
Laura
Palin defense
defenders.
Of Dr. Laura.
Pardon me?
The Sarah Palin defense of Dr. Laura.
Oh, but please. I'm like, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Sarah Palin told someone else not to quit?
Well, Sarah Palin defended her First Amendment rights, and she really upset all the black Republicans, and I mean both of them.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's what the Tea Party needs, one more racist, in case the sign with the president with a bone through his nose is too subtle for you. You need someone that enjoys screaming the N-word.
Well, on the bright side, Suge Knight has offered Dr. Laura a six-album deal, and that's pretty impressive. There's nothing funnier than white people complaining about the fact that there's one word they're not allowed to say.
Yes.
You love that?
Yes.
On Fox News, they do it. Elizabeth Hasselbeck does it all the time. Well, they can say that word, but why can't we say that?
Yes.
Why do I tell my kids that word's wrong and the rappers? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you people.
That's the sad history of America, isn't it? The white people being deprived of their word to scream the N-word. Repeatedly.
The entire history of this country is,
yes,
is white people telling black people what they can't do.
Of white people not being able to say the N-word.
In 400 years, black folks have told white people one thing they can't do.
And this is what I said yesterday, John. I'm like, what? In what world quitting your multi-million dollar a year radio show is being deprived of your First Amendment rights? Hmm. In what world is she somehow being... And then, of course, Sarah Palin has to get in
the same world where she's a doctor.
She has to get in her violent rhetoric with the reload. You know, don't retire, reload, or... You know what? I think, you know what? So, since we're rethinking amendments, Chris, don't you think we ought to rethink that Second Amendment?
Yeah.
That seems...
Yeah, let's define it a little more.
Watch the right wing explode entirely. Mm-hmm. What? No, that's like a commandment. That's one of the ten...
So outside the mainstream.
Yes. All right, so lots of stuff to get to. Ecclesiastical MOOC?
Word, my
yes.
child.
You asked me to, you know, we've been doing a little dance this week, haven't we, Chris?
We were hoping you'd get some mail this week, Steph.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, it's been a little slow around here. Because we are sensitive to people asking, oh, is this just going to be all about you being gay? And I'm like, of course not. But this week, I mean, there's been a lot of publicity. I've been on national television for the first time. The show is going to be hopefully the same as it's always been. It's just I'm, what's that Oprah BS, the walking in my truth and over the rainbow of veracity?
Don't start that.
Yeah. Something.
I promise a lot of people that we will maintain the same level of mediocrity we're known for long before this announcement.
Exactly. All right.
I asked for that one.
All right. But I thought, you know, I really, the letters have been not only hilariously funny, but smart, great points, touching, moving, you know, all of it. And we've read the hate mail. So we did save the I'm going to burn in a lake of fire for you, Ecclesiastical MOOC.
Thank you.
We will sprinkle it in amidst all the other topics that we're covering on a daily basis. Scott, of course, you know, John, we got a lot of subsets of letters, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, heartbroken men that are used to holding my picture with one hand, which I urge you to continue to do.
They can still do that.
I love the letters, don't I, Chris, that say, mine's dirty, could you send me a new copy? And I'm like, yes, of course.
Ooh.
Ew, I'd be happy to.
Yes,
Scott,
that's from Neil Bortz.
Or take a picture of your feet. You got that.
Oh, it's Leg Equality Day. I got my cast off yesterday.
Oh.
I'm back in the boot. I'm in the walking boot
for
a couple of weeks.
Well, how about that?
How about that? I'm back in the walking boot for a couple of weeks. I'm down to one mobility scooter. All right. Scott writes, I say it ain't so. Oh, please, God, no. Are you telling me my fantasy of marrying a 65-year-old skank so I can get racked in the balls by your giant dogs every day is over? I was really looking forward to watching insipid romantic comedies with Sandra Bullock and Renee Zellweger every weekend. Gone now is my dream of watching you fall asleep from too much box wine every night at 6 p.m. Seriously, though, my wife is pregnant with our first child. I hope she has the courage to be who she is, just like you are. Love, Scott.
Oh.
See, the funny and the sweet all in the same.
We like
Scott. And his dream has died, and I'm 73. Oh, all right.
But you're a spry 73. I want to point that out.
Thank you. I'm plucky.
Mm-hmm. He's got
like,
moxie.
I'm like that grandma in the Tweety Bird commercial, or the cartoon, I mean. A lot of these letters, which surprised me, very touching. Dave, but can I have some love music, please?
Yes.
Dave in Minnesota, a lot of the straight people letters. Staff, I so admire you for coming out. I'm listening to you and Shelley Wright, and I'm fighting back tears, and I'm a heterosexual male. I wonder if I will ever dare come out of the atheist closet. I run a business in a... You've come out as a total atheist communist.
Completely.
Boy. I run a business in a small town in rural Minnesota, and I'm pretty sure I would go out of business if I publicly claimed my atheism. What you did today is inspirational. That's the whole, you know, is being able to... We've always tried to be inclusive in this show. Fart jokes? What's more inclusive than that? What's more universal?
It's universal. Even the Muslims love that.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about all standing together. This is the, you know, it's the Holocaust poem, you know, John, that I always screw up. When they came for the gypsies, I didn't say anything because I'm not a gypsy. When they came for the gays, I didn't say anything because I'm not gay. When they came for the Jews, I didn't say blah.
When they came for me,
there was no one left.
Say anything. There
was
no. When they came for Imus, I didn't say anything.
Exactly.
I wasn't a racist. Yeah.
Exactly. When they came for Dr. Moore, I didn't say anything because it means more stations for me. When they came for Imus, I thought, great, maybe I'll get the MSNBC thing. Yeah.
When they came for the Grease Man, I thought, oh, I can get that studio mic.
And when they come for a man cow, I'll be dancing on his grave, too. I think the point is, universally, we all have no soul in radio.
How about that gay host down the hall?
Who? Oh, big gay Bill Handel,
yes.
Whom we love and
yes.
Whom we welcome here to come out on the show anytime. Because he's been very supportive of me, and we just want you to know we love you as gay as you are.
I think everyone should come out on your show.
All
I'm inviting Glenn Beck over.
All right, could you take your organ out, please? Thank you. All right, ecclesiastical MOOC. Here we go. This is the Mama Burning in the Lake of Fire ones.
Yes.
Okay, who's this guy? Hang on. Tyree in Hillside, Illinois. So sorry for all your celebration and false hope. Greetings, Steph and company. Steph, this is no cause for celebration. Even with all your friends calling in congratulating, this is a time for sorrow. I was taking a moment for sorrow. You always precious airtime speaking of things that are outrageous and even sinful. Well,
That's yeah.
That's why
that's
he listens.
Fun part.
I guess.
Hello.
Why is he listening?
The word of God is correct and it will not change whether we choose to believe it or not. In the book of Genesis, you will find God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of these outrageous activities. John Fugel saying?
Not true. God destroyed, you know, when God had a chance to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he didn't do it because there might be a few righteous people in the city. When God finally did it, it wasn't because of homosexuality. That's one of the biggest misconceptions of the Bible.
It was promiscuity, correct?
Well, no, it was gang rape of angels. That's exactly what it was. Really quickly, Lot and his wife and daughters are in the city. The two messengers of God, they're not called angels, they're messengers, come and say, y'all got to get out of here, stuff's going down. A crowd of men gather outside and say, throw those two guys out here that we may know them. It was like Oz. They wanted to do a prison thing. Lot, the hero, leans out and says, guys, why don't you gang rape my two daughters? They're virgins. What a guy. They say, no, we want those two guys. The angels come out, blind the mob. They run away. Lot's wife turns into a pillar of salt. Later, Lot has sex with and impregnates his two daughters, and
hello.
This means gay men are bad.
Thank you, Ecclesiastical MOOC. All
right, that's the Sodom and Gomorrah story, folks. It means gang rape of angels and nothing else.
Listen, if you're coming after the Ecclesiastical MOOC, you better bring it, Tyree.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
You better friggin' bring it, because both his parents were clergy.
Technically, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is about not being nice to immigrants in your midst, if you
want
to know.
18 minutes after the hour, there's a part two to this letter that we will have the...
we're going
to
smack these Philistines down, baby.
Bible MOOC is going to get it all next.
Damn.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. David in New York taking time out from his Twitter war over the Ground Zero rumpus room. Hello, David.
Hey, Mama.
Hi.
I just want to say I love you and I'm very proud of you.
Oh, please. Go ahead. Thank you. Just kidding. Thank you. I'm getting a lot of those letters too. Oh, enough with the self-congratulatory bull. All right. So I love you back. Go ahead.
I also want to say, Mama, hold me. They were mean to me on Twitter.
Oh, no.
I what?
They were mean to him on Twitter.
Oh, honey. Come spoon with Mama.
They called me so many names. They called me boy, to which don't call the brown skin man that ever. They called me a pillow biter. They called me the F word. They used a lot of derogatory words towards Muslim Americans.
Hmm.
And this was all over.
Well, at least they're getting your message of tolerance and inclusivity, aren't they?
Pretty much. And,
yeah, that's nice.
You know, I've learned three things. Number one, they operate off crazy because the person who started the fight was mad at me because I didn't tolerate her right to be a bigot, and that made me a bigot. Two, these people don't operate off of logic or love. They operate off hate and craziness. And three, if you're going to get into a fight on Twitter, make sure you roll deep, because this was an eight-hour fight that attracted 30
people. Because you've got stamina.
Hey, David, right. Would you mind giving out your Twitter handle so that our listeners can help you out, help you fight your fight?
Oh, that would be so great. I am Fox Mental, FOXMENTAL. Please follow me, and the next time these guys attack me, just please help me, because I was on a phone and a computer twittering back at them all at the same time, and they were yelling at me for my spelling.
We got you, baby. We got you.
Yeah, but it's
great.
Twitter. You're supposed to use a
brief... Great. Punctuation police in the middle of an emotional fight. David, we got your back. We're all family now. I love you.
And I'm sure your spelling was too good to carry a sign at a teabag rally.
What's that?
His spelling was too good to carry a sign at a teabag
rally.
Yeah,
of course. You get a brain, Morans.
Yeah,
we're all going to follow you, David.
Twitter,
Twitter
not known for its proper grammar or spelling.
lol.
Yeah, I saw the little bit I got to see on various, websites last week.
Yeah.
I was hilarious how, some of these Bible thumpers would stick in and they just, like, get gang jumped. Like, what are you doing in here?
Yeah.
Get out, homophobe.
Don't feed the trolls, people. Don't feed the trolls.
Please take your organ back out. Ecclesiastical Mook. Tyree letter, just part two, because you asked me to save it for you.
Yes.
Tyree in Hillside, Illinois. Steph and company, this is very important, and God knows I really enjoyed you all, especially when you spoke on things that are good and acceptable for young children. I don't know when that was, but that must have been by accident.
Yeah.
When you said what he liked.
But as it is now, much of your programming is obscene. Oh, just now? He must be new.
It's always been obscene.
And I don't think God will continue to allow your program to continue. Unless you revamp what you were all about. Oh, God's a program director now.
Yeah, does God have anything to do with getting you on stations?
Oh, that's... God's in affiliate relations now. Oh, that's ridiculous. What do you think, he's going to strike me? this is in spite of all the good you're doing. In spite of all the good we're doing, Tom, God is going to...
In spite of all the good you're doing, you're evil.
To continue to offer support to gay marriage and opening off the military to gay and lesbian relationships is an affront to God, especially now seeing what the scriptures say about that type of lifestyle. And now he goes into caps so that we'll know it's important.
Oh, it's wake the old meanie font.
Wake up, you all. Please don't continue down that road to destruction. It seems like he actually means well. The end has to come one day, and I don't want to see you all on the right side. I want to see you all on the right side of God's word when the end comes.
Right.
Some will say Jesus did not say anything about gay and lesbians. He didn't have to. It's already in the scriptures.
The Old Testament.
Yeah. Well, and St. Paul at one point in Romans, very vaguely, but St. Paul is probably talking about male prostitutes. So there really is no anti-gay stuff. And Jesus overturned plenty of Old Testament laws.
Yes.
From death penalty to working on the Sabbath. And I'll remind you folks out there, if you really believe the parts of Leviticus that say that being gay is a sin, then you have to stone gay men. You got to stone children who work on the Sabbath. Bye-bye, Bush twins. Anybody who cuts their hair at the temples. Bye-bye, Marine Corps. People who work on the Sabbath. That's a Saturday. So long, NASCAR. And, of course, adultery. You have to stone adulterers, which technically includes divorce and remarriage. So if you really hate the gays, you owe it to God to kill Limbaugh three times.
Oh, dear.
Thank you.
Oh, John Fugelson.
Just a jest.
Tyree ends, I hope you will all take the time to read this, which we did. Discuss it amongst yourselves. We did. We've all got to die one day. Oh, thank you, Mr. Happy. Over and out, Tyree in Hillside, Illinois. Just with a warning.
Something tells me he didn't listen to the show anyway.
Yeah. So I have a question. If we go to his side and get to survive, can he let us read his Left Behind books? Because that's all I really want.
Yeah.
Can I have your rapture helmet?
How about a Left Behind DVD starring Kirk Cameron?
Ooh.
The Writings
Bible
of Tim Lai. Mike in Chicago.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, baby.
First of all, could I get a hypocrisy alert? Stop.
Oh, yes. A hypocrisy alert. Hypocrisy alert. Yes.
Dr. Laura, back in the day when Stern was on terrestrial radio, he was on CBS radio also, and she threatened not to renew her contract unless CBS muzzled Stern from making fun of her on the air. So as long as her First Amendment rights aren't messed with.
Yeah,
and I'm sure
Howard Stern was very obedient about all that. He takes direction well. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Maybe.
Stephanie Miller.
Is 60.
No, that's ridiculous.
Think about it. She can't rap.
She falls asleep in chairs. She doesn't know how to use a computer. She's always mad at the TV.
Stephanie Miller.
Might be 70.
See, Stephanie Miller Show, welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, Fridays with Fugelsang continues. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ellen in Miami. Hi, Ellen.
Good morning, Steffi, and I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
And if, in fact, you should go to hell, I'll be there with you because I'm Jewish.
Thank God. Thank God. We may both chicken out right before the rapture, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that. I am calling on.
We'll both be next to each other screaming. I'll be like, I'm straight. I'm a Christian. Okay.
I am calling on a serious note. When our dear President Obama was on The View, Elizabeth Hasselbeck had such a good time, like, jobs and jobs and jobs. Where are the jobs? We need the jobs.
Yeah, she's a brain trust.
Yes.
I'm sure he was afraid of those debate skills.
Terrified. But Elizabeth Hasselbeck has a line of clothing on QVC that is made in China.
Well, we know where the jobs are, Bubblehead. They're in China, where you outsource them.
And I just needed to let...
Well, let's defend her. At least they're Chinese adults, unlike Kathy Lee Griffin, who used...
Exactly, but I wanted
Gifford,
to let the
Gifford, not Griffin.
Kathy Gifford. Lee
Griffin.
Gifford. Pardon me, Ellen?
Hear this. I wanted the millions and millions and millions of viewers that hear this to...
Thank you.
No.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. All right. Yes,
and, you know, Hasselbeck only got her job because she lost Survivor. So
yes.
That's right.
That's her job skills.
What is this is how I know I am getting old and crotchety, because I'm like, what are these kids at the reality shows? Like, Kim Kardashian recently was, wait, where is this? She was quoted recently as saying when she was in grade school, that was her dream, was to be on a reality show. I'm like, what, God damn it? The hell kind of country are we becoming?
Wow, she's waited all her life for this.
Yes, she said, here are the Kim Kardashian fun facts, John. She said, in elementary school, The Real World came on, and I was like, that's it. I know I want to be on a reality show. See, in the United States of America, you can grow up to do absolutely nothing.
Ooh.
Be famous for being famous. And I was like, okay, when I'm old enough, I will make an audition tape. Which would be the sex tape. That's America's dream, is growing up, making a sex tape, getting your own reality show.
It worked for Montana Fishburne.
Yeah, it did. Holy cow.
And then talking about her sex tape, she said it was humiliating. You know how that is when you allow someone to film you having sex and then put it on the internet, and then suddenly you're like, oh, that is so embarrassing.
Humiliated.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But now let's move on. She'd like us to move on now. Not that I don't think it's no one's business. Yeah, it's no one's business that she had sex on camera with someone and put it on the internet.
Exactly.
What's wrong with you people?
That's how Ray J got his reality show.
But I think I've done a good job of replacing negative things with positive things.
What?
What positive has she done?
Well, these thoughts.
Oh.
I'm an Armenian, so of course I'm obsessed with laser hair removal, arms, bikini, legs, underarms. My entire body is hairless.
She's
a hairless
community.
Kardashian.
Right. Her entire body?
Apparently.
Oh, dear.
It's a little weird.
Okay. I don't like Kardashians, and I don't like anyone who does. Can we point out that we wouldn't even know what a Kardashian was if O.J. hadn't killed those two guys?
That's right.
Can we just mention that?
That's right. Please?
Another thing that O.J. has foisted upon
Brown
us.
If Brown was still alive, you wouldn't know what a Kardashian was, folks.
Thanks, O.J.
Stephanie has actually met a few Kardashians, haven't you?
Oh, that's right.
In the Larry King green room.
You know what? Larry King's green room is like Satan's waiting room. Yeah. Well, because I met Bruce Jenner, who was like my girlhood crush, and I was all like stammery, and his picture was on my locker in high school, you know.
And he's now Mr. Kardashian.
Yes. And so he was there with all his Kardashian-ness. So I didn't really talk to any
people.
Of the Kardashians. I was too busy being, you know, starstruck by Bruce Jenner.
Being gay for Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. John, you're around my vintage. In high school, all the guys had the pictures of
vintage. No, he's more around my vintage.
Whatever.
So. I remember
every guy had a picture of Farrah Fawcett, and every girl had a picture of Bruce Jenner.
Was Bruce Jenner big with the girls? Really?
Yes.
I didn't know.
In the
that.
70s,
I just remember Leif Garrett being the first.
I was a Donnie and a David girl.
I remember Sean Cassidy. That's my vintage.
No,
I remember
Sean
Cassidy.
No,
yeah.
I was a David and Donnie.
All right.
All right. David Madison.
Well, you can't buy drugs from those guys now, but Leaf's on hold.
Yes.
Steph,
Stephanie, I watched your the clip on your website with you on the Joy Behar show and obliterating that man-cow guy. You're at the top of your game. You're looking great. Aww. Go after them.
Thank you, baby. Well, how do you defend Dr. Laura on this? And yet he was. I mean, he's like, I'm friends with her. It's like, well, I've been friends with her, too. I've known her, but you can't defend that. You just
can't.
How
was he trying to defend her? What was he saying to defend her?
He was also attacking all the folks in Chicago where I grew up. I grew up during the Operation Push. I know Jesse Jackson. And this idea that there's an equivalence between some anorexic skank yelling the N-word and people fighting for their rights is outrageous.
Yes, I know. I couldn't tell what he was saying because he was speaking so loudly my ears were bleeding, so I couldn't really... In fact, John, if you've had this happen, I had no audio, so I actually don't even know what he said in the first segment, and then they restarted the tape and went to me, and I'm like, but I can only imagine. It was just something loud that he pulled out of his ass, loud and wrong.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
If I know man-cow.
First Amendment rights were the First Amendment's what got her into trouble, for God's sake. God bless it.
Yeah.
No one took it away.
All right. Von Seal in Asheville, North Carolina, official owner of the snooty elitist French restaurant Bouchon.
Hello. Good morning.
By the way, we are part of the village that co-parented her sullen, resentful teenager, Fuller. Hello, Von Seal.
Good morning. I have some wonderful news today.
What's that?
The sullen and resentful Fuller moved into the dorm room.
She's out.
Oh my God. No kidding.
Where is she going?
You know, I've been trying to force her off on you for years.
Yes, I know.
She's going 14 miles away to the University of North Carolina at Asheville.
Oh, cool.
But I've got to tell you what she said this morning. Because we have been discussing, of course, Stephanie Miller and, you know, the big announcement.
Yes.
So this morning, her dad is moving her in.
Yes.
While I can stay home and eat bonbons and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, so, and creme brulee.
And creme brulee.
Creme brulee, pardon me.
Of many different flavors.
Yes.
Ooh,
yeah.
So I go, Flora, how are you feeling this morning? And she looked at me and she said, experimental.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Oh,
boy.
What's her number again?
All right. Let's just pretend that didn't happen. Thank you, Von Seal.
It's quite all right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Those are the best kind of college girls.
All right. Hey, you know what? Let's dive into the right wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Hiya. Oh, Ann Coulter. She's like an old relic, isn't she? She's one of the tragic, broken down old heroines of right wing world.
Mm-hmm.
Desperately trying to get attention.
You can't combine citizenship with by birth and the welfare state. It doesn't work. And by the way, it is being lied about every place that this is what the 14th Amendment required. Americans, what Harry Reid was saying was utter common sense. Americans must be sitting back thinking, what were they thinking back in 1860? Were Americans really worried? What is this?
No,
we have
totally
a guaranteed citizenship?
I see. Yeah, the founding fathers were, you know, they were just momentarily, what were they thinking back then? All the other
amendments. They didn't know about terror babies.
Yeah.
The authors of the 14th Amendment were asked about whether this would apply to children of Chinese laborers, and the authors said absolutely yes.
Yeah, by the way, this is going to be a fun episode of Republicans eating their own. Did you see this news? One of the conservative conference, they dropped Ann Coulter as keynote speaker because she spoke to gay Republicans, which is no good.
No.
Well, that's already been undone.
The conservative website WND has dropped Ann Coulter as the keynote speaker at its upcoming conference over her plan to speak to a group in favor of gay rights. WND says Coulter's decision to speak at HomoCon, I didn't know such a thing existed.
HomoCon?
An event sponsored by a gay Republican organization called GOP Proud disqualifies her. Now she can't play in any of their right-wing homophobe reindeer games.
Well, it used to be called the Log Cabin Republicans. Now it's HomoCon. New name, same self-loathing.
Yes.
But they did drop Ann Coulter because they wanted to book a woman.
Yeah, well, that's true, and that's their right.
Oh, dear.
Oh, let's see. They say this disqualifies her from speaking at their Taking Back America National Conference. And
from now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
And ultimately, as a matter of principle, it would not make sense for us to have Ann speak to a conference about taking America back when she clearly does not recognize the ideals to be espoused there simply do not include the radical and very unconservative agenda represented by GOP Proud.
Geo proud,
whatever.
Yeah. Right, the unconservative agenda of individual rights and freedom.
Coulter was careful to say she will remain a WND columnist, and she was hired to deliver a speech at HomoCon, but doesn't mean she endorses their views.
Is it really called HomoCon?
HomoCon.
What does it say when you are not enough of a gay basher, someone that's called John Edwards the F word for gay man, and still not quite enough. She's a little too tolerant.
Well, HomoCon's the step and fetch it of the gay rights movement. Yeah. They're just trying
it's
to set it back
show.
As far as they can.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get that. I'm like, they hate you, you know. Okay.
Yeah, well, they're re-renaming it SwishCon to be more up to date.
All right, Don Imus on Fox Business.
What did Nancy Pelosi, during her impression of Joe McCarthy, what does she mean by we want to investigate the people who are sponsoring the opposition to this? What does that mean? You know, I want to know who's paying for those old bags Botox injections.
I didn't know Lauren Bacall was guest hosting.
Awesome.
Don't ask any questions about Bogey. She's very sensitive.
Who is paying for Don Imus's Botox injections?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that's this whole, again, right-wing lie that, oh, Nancy Pelosi wants to investigate the 9/11 families. That's completely untrue. We know for a fact that Pam Geller and a lot of these right-wing psychos are behind this ginned-up controversy over the Islamic rumpus room.
Mm-hmm. The Islamic foosball table.
Rec center, whatever
it's
it is.
It's a community center. They've got a theater, they've got a cafe, they have a mosque, meeting rooms, and a pinkberry.
Yeah. Pool. And a pinkberry?
A pinkberry. It has to be,
pinkberry.
Right?
Pinkberry?
I'm there!
I love it. 45 minutes.
Call to prayer right now!
45 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Economist Christian Weller coming up on What's Up with the Economy in just a couple of minutes. Joey in Chicago on the Maha Husk. Hi, Joey.
Hey, Chicago, that's right. You guys have a kick-ass show.
Thank you, baby.
I love listening to you guys. Yeah, I've been thinking about all this, and but, you know, the mosque stuff. And I keep thinking of our leadership. I want to throw this your way, kind of throw this thought in the ring. I can get to my beliefs later if you want. I don't care. But I believe that our leadership across the board is at fault when we hear whatever president it is saying, God bless America, invoking that kind of stuff. A, when trying to get elected or when bad stuff happens. And I think it's an excuse for people a lot of the times, and at the same time it misleads people. In other words, without that there, then truly the president or our leaders are doing what they should. In other words, they're supposed to lead us in an unbiased manner when it comes to religion, right? Mm-hmm. But when that bias is there, doesn't that corrupt or I think it affects the masses. And so perhaps our leaders need to give up that right when they lead us, or they don't, or they can't go public with their beliefs.
What does it hurt? I mean, you know, Joey, I'm atheist, you know, but what does it hurt when the president says, God bless America?
Well, it doesn't hurt anything, but I guess the point for a lot of people probably would be, oh, that's what I believe, or that's mainstream. And then when something goes the other way in government, like let's say the commandments are taken out of the courthouses, then people react and say, wait a minute, the president said God bless America, but what does he really believe? Because he's not doing what he thought he would.
I think one of the, you know, weirdest and most insidious things, have you been watching these polls about the growing number of Americans that don't know or think the president is Muslim? And, you know, you're in this weird position. You know, they replayed that clip of the woman with the crazy hair saying to John McCain, I don't trust him, he's an Arab. And John McCain going, no, ma'am, he's a good family man.
Like Arabs can't be good family men.
Yeah.
And that cost him Mississippi.
But I mean, this is the, you know, saying it's not a bad thing, but I'm not that. I mean, what do you make of that, John, that these polls, I mean, what did I hear? 1 in 10 Democrats think they're not sure if the president's Muslim? It's just like, oh, no.
Well, you know, the same people who think Obama's a Muslim also thought George W. Bush was a Christian, which is very funny. Here's the thing. First off, keep in mind, most polls are done through landlines, okay? And there's more cell phones than landlines in America. So the average poll is going to a minority of the phones in the country, and it tends to be older folks who still have landlines more so than the younger people with cell phones. So demographically, you're not getting an even representation of the country. However, yeah, almost 20% of Americans now believe Obama is a Muslim. It was only 11% of Americans in 2009. This means the greatest threat to our freedom is not foreign terrorists, but domestic morons.
Thank you. All right, speaking of which, oh, look, it's prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris.
Trudeau mandates jihad, and it mandates terrorism and suicide bombing. So this is really a juridical center that's being established to study and promote and train and recruit Sharia law advocates, who become terrorists.
Oh.
Yes, he's concerned about anything that might promote putting down women, because you know he knows you shouldn't do that unless, of course, you're trying to get a better suction on their toes.
Yes, well, the president's online, too. Mm-hmm. You know, and the same with Gingrich. Recent Catholic convert Newt Gingrich says that Muslims are trying to impose their way of life on us and that they shouldn't be able to build the center because there are no churches in Saudi Arabia. First off, you know, isn't this because America's supposed to be better? I mean, the fact that there are no churches in Saudi Arabia is exactly why we should have this built here to prove we're not just bragging about our freedom.
By the way, this particular imam... so moderate. Guess who he was a diplomat for? George W. Bush.
Yep. This guy worked with the FBI after 9/11.
This thing Dick Morris just said, Peter King, Ileana Ross, what's her name?
Leighton.
Yes. They called him a radical, criticized the Obama administration for including him on a Middle East speaking tour. Guess who included him on a Middle East speaking tour? George Bush.
He's been on Fox News, and again, he worked with the FBI.
Yes, he represented America under the Bush administration. State Department spokesman said his work on tolerance and religious diversity is well known. He brings a moderate perspective to foreign audience on what it's like to be a practicing Muslim in the United States. He added the department's public diplomacy office has a long-term relationship with Rauf, including during the past Bush administration when the religious leader undertook a similar speaking tour. And listen, this is not easy with Karen Hughes. Noted diplomat in the, carrying her bags. They went to, they traveled together.
She's a large woman.
And Bush has been cowardly, very silent on this, although Bush aides have begun telling, according to Politico, Bush aides are now telling Republicans to tone it down a bit. But look, freedom means being tolerant of things you don't like flag-burning other religions or Jonas Brothers. And what's beautiful about this is the liberals are being the conservatives on this. If you believe in the right to
and by the way,
worship and assembly, you're the conservative and these guys are the radicals.
Exactly. And free speech, by the way, in the First Amendment, it made specifically for people like Dr. Laura. For speech that you don't like, but she has the right to say it, you know. And no one's taking away her First Amendment, right?
And also, if the president followed Islam, so what? It's his right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody's couching this news story as there would be something wrong if the president were Muslim.
Yeah. Dargano Gasbag, Rush Limbaugh on this.
Obama says he's a Christian, but where's the evidence?
Oh, dear God.
Well, he went to Reverend Wright's church. Yeah, but he says he didn't hear anything that was said in there. And by the way, Reverend Wright's church is a weird brand of Christianity.
It's the wrong kind.
The Reverend Wright's church, black theology, is what comes out of that pulpit, not exactly mainstream Christianity.
Oh, I see. So we were founded on freedom of religion, except for the weird ones.
Yeah.
Well, except for the weird strains that we don't really like.
The double talk and jive we're getting from the Fox bots, it's like Obama is a devious socialist mastermind and a complete incompetent. And now we're getting this new meme of he's a Muslim with a bad Christian pastor.
Tony Blankley on the Situation Room.
He is not your standard cookie-cutter American president. As he said, Barack Hussein, when he was running, this is not the regular guy you expect to see on a dollar bill. So coming along with all of the differentness of him, from his race to everything else, it's understandable, not endorsing, but it's understandable why people would say, gee, he's kind of different from the normal Protestant white president we're used to seeing.
He's different, bad. Differentness. Bad, different, differentness.
Wow.
Different, other. Other. What country am I in? It's like I've woken up in a nightmare. Hannity.
Let's go through the history of this. Remember, he said we're not a Christian nation. He said America is arrogant. He went on the apology tour. His first major speech was on Al Arabiya TV. He gave his next two major speeches were in Turkey and Cairo. Remember, the NASA chief said the top priority was Muslim outreach. The money, $900 million to Hamas, controlled Gaza Strip. His treatment of Benjamin Netanyahu, his lack of outspokenness on the Iranian democracy movement, the refusal to acknowledge the Fort Hood shooter was a terrorist. Do you think people maybe have taken all of those things and his actions as president and come to a wrong conclusion?
Or is it asshats like me?
How do you get so many lies in one sentence?
Well, Sean Hannity's a master at that. Yeah,
he can do that.
He's good at that.
Oh,
okay.
God. That's why they pay him the big bucks.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Some new unemployment news and news about the Federal Reserve. Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. Friday's with Fuglesang, John Fuglesang, in our San Francisco bureau today. He is performing at Cobb's Comedy Club with Hal Sparks. Other friend of the Stephanie Miller Show.
All weekend, yo.
All weekend, yo. Go see the hottest, sexiest, funniest, smartest men in the world. StephanieMiller.com. You can see me getting screamed at like usual by right-wing douche nozzles on the Joy Behar show yesterday, if you'd like. It's up in the video section of, we were talking about Dr. Laura. Judith Regan was filling in for Joy yesterday, and I couldn't hear anything else because Man Cow was screaming. What?
What?
Okay. So that's up in the video section. Oh, I think I'm doing the Ed Show today on MSNBC, but not sure. I will see if I can get a confirmation before we get off today in my media whoring tour.
Let us know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, by the way, lots of news, you know, breaking left and right. Me, Dr. Laura. We completely missed that Guy Lafleur was acquitted. Karen writes, Guy Lafleur acquitted. No news about Bark Parks or Sheboygan. My favorite part is he took his son to meet a 16-year-old girlfriend at a hotel. Nice.
Ew.
Nice. Family values. Why do we like him? Just because we like saying Guy Lafleur, Sheboygan, and of course Bark Park. Yes. Guy Lafleur. The symphony of stupidity that is the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you. Just gave us some excuse to bring up Guy Lafleur.
Mr. Fuglesang's not allowed to make fun of other people's goofy names.
Exactly. Oh, Stephen in Chicago, we got into a 14th Amendment thing yesterday. Corporations are entities. He writes, Stephanie, if corporations are entities, does this mean that they show up as a cheesy sound effect to rape people? Yes, that's our favorite.
Because Barbara Hershey in the movie The Entity.
She's raped by a sound effect.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's there. Because of the music. All right.
Barbara Hershey and the Entity. You win the obscure reference.
Love that movie.
Oh, please. When I was a kid, they showed that on the movie channel like every other day.
Oh, I know. They would take occasional breaks
for
the Presidio.
Yes.
She had her original lips then.
She did.
She's single again, I have hope.
That's true.
All right. Let's see. Oh, this is how I'm good for the economy, because we're about to talk to Christian Weller. Marie in Tacoma, Washington, said, on a personal level, you fulfilled two fantasies for me. Meredith Baxter, Shelley Wright, Stephanie Miller, the lesbian trifecta of the decade. And you won me $5 from my partner of 27 years who swore my gaydar was off. Thank you. See? I'm a one-woman stimulus.
Huh?
People are cashing in on bets left and right. All right. Meanwhile, let's see what's happening in the economy, what the breaking news is, with Christian Weller from RoboCop and the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie.
We got some unexpected bad news about unemployment. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we got unemployment news yesterday that the people who filed for the first time for unemployment benefits rose to 500,000. That was unexpected, certainly very high. The number of people who continuously claim unemployment benefits has gone down, probably because a lot of people are losing benefits because they have been receiving benefits so long that they're now no longer eligible. And certainly that goes along with the overall story that the economy has been weakening right now, and that the labor market is not recovering as quickly as we had hoped.
Christian, is what everybody focuses on, of course, is the unemployment number. Is that going to change? We're still at 9.5, or?
Well, it probably won't change, because what happens is a lot of people will be discouraged from leaving the labor force. So that won't be good news just because the unemployment rate stays the same. It's a little bit of a mixed bag. There's more people looking, but there's also more people being discouraged and just simply leaving the labor force altogether. So that keeps the unemployment rate stable. But it doesn't take the focus away from the fact that we do need to have more private sector activity, we need more investment, we need more good activity, and we need more hiring. The thing is, we do have good industry production numbers, we have investment going up, those things are going in the right direction, and profits are clearly up, so now this has to translate into more hiring, and that's really, private sector hiring is happening, it's just not happening at the pace that we would like to see.
What do you think is happening with that? I've heard my buddy Ed Schultz talking about the fact that there really is a difference between how well corporations are doing and how well regular people are doing. And is this by design to get Republicans elected? I mean, do they actively not want to hire, not want the economy to improve? Because, I mean, that's the thing. For as much talk as this president is anti-business, he's really not, is he?
Mm-hmm. No, President Obama is actually very pro-private markets and pro-business. I mean, he's been very good for businesses. Businesses have experienced an incredible stabilization of financial markets and the economy, and ultimately mint more cash. I don't subscribe necessarily to conspiracy theories. I think companies have their own reasons why they're hanging on to cash.
But why are they not hiring? Why are they being so cautious when clearly their profits are up?
Well, we saw something similar after 2001, that companies could manage to get by when consumers' demand is somewhat slow, by not really hiring. They can make the people they have work even harder, longer, where people are more desperate. And so that certainly helps, on a company side. The other part is companies have their own priorities. I mean, often they like to use the money for bonuses. They would like to use the money to buy back their own shares and open up their wallets to pay a lot of dividends. So we see some of that happening.
Well,
so there's a number of things that could go in a much better direction.
Christian,
the fact is, however, that we are seeing good investment numbers, and ultimately that should translate into more hiring.
This is the president talking about the jobs bill.
When Congress reconvenes, this jobs bill will be the first business out of the gate, and the Senate Republican leadership needs to stop its efforts to block it.
I mean, obviously, it seems like that would be of some help, you know, the jobs bill.
Well, the things that are still in the pipelines are some financial help for small businesses, making it easier for small businesses to get loans. There's about $30 billion that are being allocated towards that. And then there's some additional money for infrastructure investments, extending some spending there. Certainly would help. We're going to have another conversation probably later in the year about extending unemployment benefits if unemployment rates stay high. Every little bit helps at this point.
Right.
But
Christian, let me get your reaction on one thing. Listen to the president again yesterday.
A majority of senators are in favor of the bill. And yet, the obstruction continues. It's obstruction that stands in the way of small business owners getting the loans and the tax cuts that they need to prosper. It's obstruction that defies common sense.
That's what I want to get your take on specifically, Christian, is I really do try to understand what the opposition is. As you just said, it would seem common sense that every little bit helps. What are they basing their opposition to this bill on? What is their argument?
I've given up trying to explain what conservatives' rationale is for some of these things. It's just simply, I think it's electioneering to some degree.
But then that's not a conspiracy theory, right? That's a they don't want people to get jobs in the economy to get better because they want Republicans to get voted in.
Yeah, they want, well, they, that's part of it. They also want their policies, which have nothing to do with job creation, tax cuts for the rich. I mean, they're essentially holding benefits that could go directly to small businesses and unemployed workers hostage to a debate over tax cuts for high-income earners. And that's certainly, I think, yeah, unconscionable in a given environment, yeah, because one thing works for workers, and that is more loan guarantees for small businesses and more unemployment insurance benefits.
Yep.
One thing doesn't work for workers, and that is tax cuts for the rich.
Well, and as the president said, they don't have time.
Let me just make this simple point. There will be plenty of time between now and November to play politics. But the small business owners I met with this week, the ones that I've met with across the country this year, they don't have time for political games.
And yet, I mean, look, we're a small business. I think a lot of us know what it's like out there, and it just it seems amazing to me that the Republicans aren't going to pay politically for that.
Well, I think part of it is that we need to tell a better story, that clearly there is private sector momentum out there. It could be stronger, and there are easy policies to make it stronger, and one of them is loan guarantees for small businesses. And I think we should make it clear that policies that the Republican leadership is pushing, tax cuts for the rich, simply haven't worked in the past. I mean, we don't have to go into the grab bag of history. We only have to look back less than 10 years to see what the effects of these tax cuts were when they were enacted, and they didn't generate jobs, they didn't generate investment, so taking them back won't hurt growth, and we can use that money much better, much more smartly, to invest in small businesses, extending unemployment benefits and infrastructure.
Quickly before you go, deficits. We obviously got some new CBO deficit numbers. I mean, clearly everybody knows the deficit not good right now, but again, it's how you address it. You know, we got there, as you say, partially through these tax cuts for the rich. But how do we address it now?
Well, I think the CBO numbers tell a little – they tell an interesting story about the present this year and next year. What that means is the deficit is a little bit smaller this year because we're getting more money back from TARP than initially expected. The deficits for the next 2 years are actually expected to be a little bit worse than originally projected, largely because the economy is performing a little worse than originally expected. But the big picture, I think, is the question of what we're going to do about the long run. And the important thing is that this administration has started to make some real inroads to lay the groundwork for reining in the deficits, for instance, through efforts to reduce healthcare inflation, which is a big one. The other part is the conversation now about less defense spending. And then the other part is taking back some of the big tax cuts for the richest people.
And let's end on a happy, clappy, party Friday note that GM is starting to pay, or, you know, the auto industry, they're starting to pay us back, right?
Yep. And a lot of banks have paid us back, and they have paid us back with a handsome gain.
Hello.
So taxpayers.
We are smart.
Well.
We are all financial experts.
The taxpayers did okay with TARP. But I think we're going to have a serious discussion about the long-term deficits. But I think the ball is now in the court of Republicans to say, what will they do? I mean, there's only Representative Ryan from Wisconsin who's laid out a very aggressive plan to cut, basically eliminate Social Security and cut Medicare very substantially. And if that's what the Republican plan is, then they should say that. That's
yes,
their plan.
Do that.
So
all
far,
right.
So far, they have disavowed that plan.
Yep. Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire. See you next time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. There he goes.
Crazy conspiracy theorist. Corporations are...
See what he did there?
That's nuts.
He's scoffing at us.
I bet you believe that a bunch of Arabs with box cutters caused 9/11. Woo! Let me know when you come down.
Jim's here. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Fridays with Fuglesang, John Fuglesang in our San Francisco Bureau. Voice DD Jim Ward joins the party. Did you actually get a ticket or no?
No, not today.
No.
I have one that has yet to be paid. But
Don't they know that you have an important job doing silly voices and you must be here on time?
Yeah, so, yeah, I made the mistake of trying to use surface streets a few weeks ago when the freeway got jammed up, and there's a guy waiting. Do you realize you're going 47 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone?
Tim and Matt,
yeah, I'm a felon.
Technically, that is against the law.
I know, but still.
You know, I mean.
I think there's so many wannabe actors here in L.A. that, you know, when they take your picture, I think a lot of people just go through red lights just to, you know, get their picture taken.
Cheap headshot.
It's like paparazzi. Hello. Hi, Tim and Madison.
Good morning.
Hello.
You know, I'm sorry, I missed that. You were doing 47 in a 45 zone?
Yeah.
Well,
at
40. It was actually, no, I was doing 53 in a 40 zone, actually.
Then you deserved it. Never mind.
That's reckless, isn't it?
I was being. Yeah.
That's slightly. Anyway, yeah, okay. I've got to say this, and it actually kind of hurts me to say this. I kind of feel sorry for Ann Coulter.
What?
Because, you know, now she's, just because
she's kind of a broken little man these days, isn't she?
She is.
Sad, broken little man.
She wants to go ahead and do the speech for, you know, the log cabin republic or whatever the hell they call themselves now.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're going to not allow her to speak somewhere else. You know, I think that she's
when Ann Coulter is not enough of a gay basher for you, then something has gone awry in Republican circles.
Exactly. And, I mean, if this doesn't show her and actually a lot of their party and the country of how just hypocritical they are and have no problem just beating the crap out of their own.
Yep.
I
know.
Shows the country that, listen, they don't care about you. They're going to worry about they only worry about their partisan, bigoted ways, no matter what. They will destroy their own.
Here's the most hilarious Republican chick fight when you think about it, is the Sarah Palin Dr. Laura thing. Dr. Laura was no fan of Sarah Palin, so now Sarah Palin's defending her. And I mean, it's just hilarious, Republicans eating their own.
And also, in real life, Ann Coulter hangs out amongst the gays quite a lot.
She's not a homophobe. I mean, she hangs out in West Hollywood all the time. She has gay friends, and there's lots of stories you'll hear from, you know, from our gay friends in Hollywood about her walking into a restaurant and people getting up and leaving.
Yes.
Well, and frankly, you know, and yet she's fine calling John Edwards the F word. We know we can use a lot of words about John Edwards. The F word for gay man, not one. Clearly not one of them.
No, freak is his word.
I had forgotten this part. So, you know, Sarah Palin using this as her usual Twitter nonsense, you know, supporting Dr. Laura and, oh, yes, they're taking away your First Amendment rights and blah, blah. And I love, don't you love that right in the wake of saying Muslims need to be more sensitive to 9/11 victims, she's defending Dr. Laura and her racial sensitivity. Unbelievable. But I remember, Dr. Laura, I had gone back, I'd forgotten this. In reaction to Palin's vice presidential nomination, was stunned and extremely disappointed by the pick. Really, what kind of role model is a woman whose fifth child was recently born with a serious issue, Down syndrome, and then goes back to the job of governor within days of the birth? I am haunted by the family pictures of the Palins during political photo ops showing the eldest daughter, now pregnant with her own child, cuddling the family's newborn. They're just going to judge each other out of existence.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Laura, one of Sarah Palin's harshest critics back when she was chosen. Hilarious.
In fairness to Sarah, it's not really her daughter anyway. It's her daughter's daughter.
Oh, come on now. We don't know that for sure. It just seems logical.
Back me up, Jim. It's a conspiracy theory. Help me out. But what's also really funny here is that I'm loving seeing Sarah Palin, after primary season, endorsing Dr. Laura, because that's the kiss of death for any radio show.
Exactly. All of Sarah Palin's picks tend to implode, and this one is no different.
She teabagged herself.
All right, back with more of the Sarah Palin, Dr. Laura falderall as we continue Fridays with Fuglesang. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, my name is Fabulous.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Charles in Los Angeles. Hey, hi, Charles.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hello. Read about you last week, and
what happened?
Well, you should be proud. You should be proud of the fact that you still look like you're in your 30s.
Oh, thank you. That's the most important thing. All right, Charles.
Okay, now you were talking about Obama and the Muslim thing.
Yes.
The media could clear that up today if they want to, or anybody can. All you got to do is Google Obama Easter Sunday, and you'll see video of him at church on Easter Sunday and singing along and all that.
Well, he's obviously faking it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, that's... well.
He went to church for 20 years to fake it.
Yeah. It's just another thing they're trying to throw at Obama. But he's a Christian.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Does that disturb you as much as it does me? They've been doing all these new polls that the numbers are going up and up. There's what is it, even 1 in 10 Democrats, I heard, are not sure if he's Muslim or think he might be? Or.
I guess it's the same mistake Michael Dukakis made with the Willie Horton ads. Oh, Americans are smart enough not to believe that. No, they're not. No, they're not. You send something inflammatory at them, and they'll jump at it. And if they don't work to correct it, it's out there. And it's,
yeah, well, it's the kind of thing you don't think you have to even stoop to,
exactly.
Answer. And yeah, I guess you
and
do.
And Democrats fall for that all the time.
If it's one thing we still need in this country, it's stooping. We must, All right, so...
But how could I have gone to church, a church which you criticized, and be a Muslim at the same time? Think about
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
He's a bad Muslim.
Yes.
And a bad Christian.
Exactly. If he is a Muslim, he's a crappy one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Sarah Palin.
Good boy.
Must we? Oh, dear God. So she's able to wedge in her violent rhetoric in the Dr. Laura thing as well. Palin's advice, don't retreat, reload. Look out, as usual, the girl VP's got a gun. Why can't we rethink the Second Amendment, Jim? Do you think they'd be at all emotional about that? If the 14th Amendment is up for reconsideration?
Yeah, why not the Second Amendment?
Yes.
You have to be able to prove that you're not a homicidal maniac to own a gun.
Exactly.
Look out, the girl VP's got a gun! Everybody run, the ex-beauty queen's got a gun.
It seems to me, and we've talked about this many times with Eric Bollard, among others, that we are in a really increasingly toxic mix of racism and violent rhetoric and God knows what else
no,
in this country.
Not, you communist. See, that's the
see,
argument,
I see what
but,
you did there?
Yeah.
See what you did, yeah. She wrote...
That's how it works.
And she, of course, on where was this? Twitter? It's on Twitter.
Yeah, of course.
The Twitter from Twitter urging someone else not to quit. Rich, isn't it ironic? Yes. Dr. Laura, don't retreat, reload. Steps aside because her First Amendment rights cease to exist. Thanks to activists trying to silence. Isn't American. It's not fair. Dr. Laura was forced to quit her multi-million dollar a year job.
The activists you're talking about were sponsors who didn't want to throw money at someone who throws the N-word.
Motel 6 did the right thing by pulling all of their ads from her show. And there were more that were... Exactly. And you know what?
For the rights of corporations.
And she's against the right of people to criticize her. Obviously.
And by the way, isn't it ironic, Phil? How about someone whose whole show is about don't stop whining?
Yeah.
Don't be a whiner. Don't be a victim.
She's playing victim.
I'm being forced to quit my multi-million-dollar-a-year job because people don't like it when I yell the N-word.
We got to start counting Sarah's lies per tweet. You know, because I think she's got 3 LPs.
How many characters
in that one?
There's no character in those characters. Dr. Laura equals this is Sarah Palin. She actually speaks exactly the way she tweets, doesn't she, Jim? She's the only person that actually...
Lol.
Wow. Is that what I
meant? I keep saying reload, but it smells like the same load to me.
No.
It's the same over and over
again.
Don't
people say manga poo joke.
Yeah, I've come to your level. It's nice here.
Manga poo jokes. Dr. Laura equals even more powerful and effective without the shackles. Oh, once again, poor Dr. Laura with the multi-million dollar a year shackles that are keeping her down. You know what? It's the man keeping her down.
Right.
You know? Preventing her from screaming the N-word as many times as she wants. That is, again, we spoke about this earlier, John, is the one scar on America is the way white people have historically been prevented from saying the N-word. They've had their right to scream the N-word taken away from them.
It's horrible. It really is. I mean, we are the victims here. I'm really tired of taking it from the man.
Yeah.
You know, in the history of this country...
Me too. What did we have? What have we ever gotten, white people, in this country?
We built this country all on our own.
Yes.
Except for the Capitol and the White House and all the buildings.
Yes.
But, you know, we built it. And yet we are being
oppressed.
When
do we get a break? When do white people get a break?
Yeah.
When do I get my N-word back?
Well, I kind of think if white people are allowed to take rock and roll away from black folks can take the N-word away from white people.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, what was George Carlin's great bit about the House of Blues? It's like, oh, please. White people, I don't know what his bit was. I'll find it.
It was a great line. He said, if white people are going to burn black churches, black people should be allowed to burn down the House of Blues. what do white people have to be blue about? Hootie and the Blowfish broke up?
That's it. All right. Dr. Laura, even more power, in fact, without the shackles. So watch out, constitutional obstructionists, and be thankful for her voice, America. What? Who is obstructing the Constitution by Dr. Laura deciding of her own free will to quit her radio show?
She still has her First Amendment rights just as much today as she did before she hurled the N-word 8 times.
Eleven times.
Did that make no sense? I was sitting in the green room waiting to go on Larry King, watching her, and I'm like, even Larry King was like, what? I don't know. How are you getting... You can say what you want. I mean, didn't she take pains to say, she is not being fired, I am quitting, that I am at the top of my game, I've gotten new sponsors, the ratings are great, I'm not, you know, didn't she take pains to say?
I am suppressing myself.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't get it. How can she in one breath say, oh, I'm losing my First Amendment rights, it's because of pressure on, you know, advertisers and, stations, and then say, oh... It's not about that because my show's doing great. Like I don't. Which
Are you
is it?
Suggesting Dr. Laura's guilty of illogical double talk? Is that what you're trying to say? Shocking. Look, Dr. Laura just wants more free time so she can berate people who call her at home. Okay, that's why she's leaving.
Beware the first person that calls her at home. Some problem. I told you I have a new dream, and that's that the black woman that called the show actually gets Dr. Laura's show because she was, I thought, a much better therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Much calmer. You know, okay, Dr. Laura, just okay, but you're not black. Okay, I need you to take a time out. Okay, breathe. Yes, but you're not black. Okay, show me on the doll where the black person touched you. See, I enjoyed her very much. Reasoned, calm.
You have to take responsible for your own racism. No one else is going to do it for you.
By the way, was the even more racist thing not even just the shouting the N-word with that kind of venom, but the saying, if you're so sensitive, don't marry outside your own race.
That was
How
awful.
How is that not racist?
Actually, I think using don't NAACP me was the most racist.
Yes, yeah, when you're KKKing somebody, don't NAACP.
They're basically the same thing.
Yep. Don and Madison.
Wait, 11 times in 5 minutes? Wait till she gets on the internet. Every other word's going to be in that. You bunch of ends. She's unrestricted. She's unretained. You know, and I think she'll throw out the F word every once in a while just to get herself off.
God, imagine what it would be like around if you could be a fly on the wall at her house. Like, you know what I say, Tourette's syndrome.
Did I say it right?
I was going to say Tourette's again.
Tourette's?
Well, it will be like a combination of Tourette's, like gun Tourette's, just shooting expletives. Tourette's and Tourette's. That's what I meant.
Spouting gun emplacements all over your body.
Yeah. John in San Francisco. Hello, John.
Hi, it's early in the morning, and I was worried that I thought I heard your show advocating the repeal of the Second Amendment and my right to keep my gun.
No.
Yes, that's what I said. I said I think somebody today should go to John's house and take his guns.
I'm talking about the context of gutting the 14th Amendment.
Yes.
So we're saying, what if...
Yes. Can you imagine if any Democrats said, you know, I think we should rethink the Second Amendment? Right now
in Oakland, they're cutting back police, so I need to be able to protect my family and my house from house robberies and stuff. I'm not advocating angrily using my gun in some sort of strange militia action.
I'm all for that.
Oh, yeah, right.
But that's what the Second Amendment says.
John, you would endorse waiting periods and background checks, too, wouldn't you?
As a responsible gun owner? Yeah, absolutely. I think there needs to be some regulation of how we do it. But I don't want people to sort of interpret the Second Amendment to mean we should have a gunless society.
That's not realistic.
Not at all.
Well, nobody's saying that. That's the other thing that they fearmonger and lie about on the right, that Obama wants to take your guns. You know, why do you think there was a run on gun shops when he got elected? He never said anything of the sort.
And Democrats have really backed away from it, too.
I just think it's really sad that municipalities are being so hammered by the economic downturn that they're having to reduce police forces, and we're already having a trouble protecting ourselves out there. It's, I don't know, I went to a school where I was one of three white people, so I can sing the blues, and I need that protection, sadly, in my community.
Well,
they're also cutting back on street lights, which is really scary.
Yeah, was that the Krugman piece, the America's Going Dark?
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, yeah. Right?
And tearing up the roads and replacing them with gravel and some.
I do want to tell John, as long as he's in San Francisco, he can bring his gun to Cobb's Comedy Club to see How Sparks and I all weekend.
Nice.
Two shows tonight, two tomorrow, one Sunday.
Nice, Captain Segway.
Wow.
Nice.
Lemons, lemonade.
Guns are welcome and encouraged.
Have you spoken to the Cobb's Comedy Club about this?
Thanks, John.
Their policy?
As they have to buy a metal detector before tonight's show. Thank
Great.
You. 45 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Fugle Sang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Kerry Clarkson.
Pardon me, Kim Jong-il?
Kerry Clarkson. I don't mean zero here.
49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It's Friday's Fuglesang continues.
Good morning.
Good morning, John Fuglesang in the San Francisco Bureau.
It's great to be
and
here.
And we thank the fine people at Green 960 for setting them up.
Thank you.
It's a lovely space. I'm enjoying all their coffee and office supplies. A lot of whiteout, too. It's great.
I think it is the easiest affiliate to steal office supplies from, as I recall. Mm. They are really just not sharp there.
Come to think of it, I stole office supplies from them when I was
yes.
there.
Yes. The security guard's like snoozing. All right. Lots
you're
to get
me, copper. Top of the world, ma.
John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, John.
Hi. May
Go
I
ahead.
Ask a stupid question?
Yes.
Regarding this whole Dr. Schlesinger and Sarah Palin business?
Yes.
And that is simply, how would former Governor Palin feel if, say, when talking about the mentally handicapped like her child, people were screaming out the word retard?
Thank you. Yes, mm-hmm. She's awfully mm-hmm. sensitive about that word, and yet she can't understand why people might be sensitive about the N-word, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, or, God forbid, talking about the governor, we're using the R-word.
But yeah, no, exactly. No, very good. That's what I mean. They're always hypocrites. You know, it's mm-hmm. only wrong when somebody they disagree with politically yep. says something, and you know.
Well, Jennifer Aniston said that word yesterday on Regis, and so I'm looking forward to Sarah Palin criticizing her detractors for trying to muzzle her free speech for saying that word.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
What did she say? Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston said retard yesterday. Yeah. And, you know, I worked in special ed for years. And
as a joke or how, in what context?
No, she was talking about herself, how she likes to dress up because I'm a retard. And, you know, classy, isn't it? And, you know, I worked in special ed for years, and I will say that liberals are just as guilty as conservatives of throwing that word around.
Mm-hmm.
If you're over 12 years old, you really got no excuse. But now the criticism has become mounting at Jennifer Aniston. I want to see Sarah Palin criticize Jennifer Aniston's critics.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. They're so disingenuous. They'll defend anybody on the right from anything. You know, it's all about partisanship. I mean, it really is amazing. All right. Let's talk about the mosque. Our buddy, our pal, Senator Al Franken.
Mm-hmm.
I will be seeing at the Blue State Ball. We just committed to the Blue State Ball in Minnesota in January.
Sweet.
I will be there with Senator Al Franken. The Blue State Bash. Who doesn't love a balmy weekend in January in Minnesota?
No wear open-toed shoes this time.
Yeah, and don't pull down any lighting rigs this time.
I was trying to give him a little something. I was trying to do a little pole dancing, and I'm not really quite.
And you pulled down a lighting rig and almost killed a few people.
Yeah. I almost killed a bunch of people. Sorry.
Oh, like that's a bad thing.
For.
I didn't.
Stop muzzling her, Chris.
Stop muzzling my free speech rights and my rights to pole dance and radio station events.
You have a First Amendment right to kill people with lighting equipment.
I'm so taking away your First Amendment right.
Senator Sherrod Brown told a local news station the mosque is a local decision. We're not at war with a religion. We're at war with terrorism. Senator Russ Feingold, still a future husband, said it wasn't the role of politicians to tell people where to worship, but that the mosque organizers should be able to build where they want. Senator Ralph Franken continued this trend by slamming the mosque's critics. He called on the opposition to the mosque one of the most disgraceful things I've heard, and used his trademark humor to mock conservative opponents for being scared of Muslim point guards that might play basketball at the community center.
That's great.
Oh, you love us some Al
Kareem
Franken.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
Yeah.
Governor David Patterson of New York.
We want to remove even the inference drawn by the developer and the supporters of this community center and mosque that there's any coercion or excessive persuasion here.
Can I say a thing about Democrats flip-flopping on this, please? Can I upset my liberal friends for just 1 minute?
Yes, please.
Because first, President Obama said the center had a right to be there, and then a day later he backtracked and said he wasn't endorsing
it. I don't think he backtracked. Hal Sparks and I agree on this.
He backtracked.
He said I'm not going to comment on the wisdom. That is for other people. I don't think it was a backtrack. I think that's right-wing, you know.
Right.
He made the correct statement about what he felt about it. When he was asked, he said, I'm not going to comment on the wisdom of it or not. He didn't say, I question the wisdom of it, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So it is a good thing, but that depends on what your definition of is.
I don't think that's the same thing. I don't.
Okay, well then, in that
and
case,
you picked a bad
Reed.
Week to annoy me.
Oh, it's like that, huh? It's over already.
It's going to be like that.
Then we can talk about Harry Reid, because Harry Reid has now caved so many times there are minors trapped inside him. Okay? I mean, you have to agree with me on this, Steph, that Harry Reid is so...
Oh, Harry Reid's a weenie, yeah.
And look, I'm in agreement. I think, I'm not saying the Cordova House guys are the greatest guys in the world, and if they were smart, they would release a statement saying, folks, we're not bad people, we're not your enemies, we're going to move 6 blocks over to the old TGI Friday building in Battery Park. If they did that, even Newt Gingrich would be like, oh, assalamu alaikum, brother. I mean, that would be a smart thing to do. But until then, they have the right to worship their religion. They have the right to assembly. And we are the conservatives on this.
Well, exactly. I mean, I was surprised, weren't you, as Howard Dean? Did you watch him on Countdown last night?
Mm-hmm.
Howard Dean suggests compromise. He said he appeared on radio, first fielded questions. At one point, the host asked Dean what his position was on the controversy surrounding the mosque at Ground Zero. It's not a mosque. It's not a Ground Zero. Referring to the Islamic rumpus room. Let's see. Dean responded by saying he favored some sort of compromise on the issue that involved using the proposed site for people of all faiths. He called the presence of the mosque an affront to people who lost their lives, including Muslims. He then went on to say, while the congregation building the mosque probably has good intentions, there's no point in trying to do something good if it's met with enormous resistance from a lot of folks. And I thought Olbermann rightly brought up with him. He's like, well, wait a minute.
The
Governor
civil
Dean,
rights movement.
Health care, civil unions in Vermont. You've done a lot of things that met with resistance from folks. I mean, look at any civil rights battle in this country. It's met with resistance. It doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do, right? I was surprised, frankly, by Governor Chairman Dr. Howard Dean on this.
Mm-hmm. I'm very disappointed.
I mean, if it were an actual mosque with minarets in the middle of where Building 1 used to be, I could see how people would be up in arms about it. But it's not remotely like that.
The thing. They say it's sacred ground. So what do they want to put there? Office space?
Yeah,
they want to have the money changers come in on the sacred ground? Let me tell you, they should put a mosque, a church, and a temple right there to show that all three faiths can coexist. Call it a Merchel, and then it'll be sacred ground. And I'm telling you right now, they're going to put a mall underground in the Freedom Tower, so you're going to have Orange Julius in your sacred ground.
I want a Chris Mahana Kwanzaa temple there. A temple, church, commercial.
If they found oil underground zero, you'd see how sacred that space was pretty quick. We go from let's roll to drill, baby, drill.
And why are we calling a Burlington coat factory sacred ground?
Because
listen,
some of us, Chris,
if you'd ever gotten a cloth coat for the price I did there, you would too.
That's right. I am very patriotic, and I think it's very sacred to buy American coats made in China.
Yes.
Governor Patterson again.
I think we would all admit that area has been through, really, in many ways, unimaginable pain over the last decade. And whatever we could do to engage in a dialogue, to try to comfort them and ease the pain, I think that we owe them to at least try.
Which is why we should build it in New Jersey.
Giving Fred Armisen.
Yeah, good Fred Armisen impression.
None of the pain, all of the stank. Jersey, no, come on. Pat in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Pat.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. I really appreciate your show. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
John called about the Second Amendment a few calls back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I thought I heard him say, and I want to check it out with you, that he was one of three white people that went to a school. And I also thought I heard him say that in his neighborhood, he really needed his guns. I'm African-American, and I'm really sensitive to the tendency to put a black or brown face on.
I hear you, Pat. No, exactly, I hear you, Pat. Right. I caught that when he said that. I was like, oh. I live with brown people. I need a gun.
I think he's in kind of a dangerous neighborhood.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on the Joy Behar Show on CNN Headline News from yesterday, up in the video section. You can, it's, you know what I do, get screamed at by right-wing douche nozzles like Mankow about how Dr. Laura isn't a racist or whatever.
Whatever.
Enjoy. And John Fugel saying, of course, in the San Francisco Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated this morning, he will be at Cobb's Comedy Club along with our other dear friend, Hal Sparks, all weekend. Go see them.
Hi-ho. Come on down.
Okay. All right.
And leave your guns at home, please.
It's been
Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home.
It's been an emotional, just, you know, really heated week, hasn't it? One thing that we can all...
No, it hasn't. Shut up.
Well, yo, Jim, I'm having a hard week. The one thing we can all magically unite behind, when dogs do funny things on the internet, when people make the dogs sing. Whose dog is this, and what's his dog's name? Do we know?
Mishka.
The husky.
Husky.
Mishka the husky.
I love you. I love you. Good girl. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh. I love you. I love
you. It sounds like Hasselhoff on the burger table.
Yes! All right, that's enough of that.
Oh,
oh God.
Oh, God. I am beside myself. Who's your girl, Mishka? Okay, that's... Wow.
I shouldn't bring this up, but...
Pardon me?
Oh, well, once on America's Funniest Home Videos, when I hosted that briefly during my lost weekend...
That's right, with Daisy Fuentes.
We had a cat that could say, I love you, and sounded just like that, too.
Yeah.
My schnauzer... My schnauzer Katie used to sing Mona Lisa with my mother when my Republican mother played the piano in the 70s. One of many, many reasons why things went awry for me. Oof, it was, yeah. Because it has really high notes in it, so Katie liked to sing the... all right.
That's weird.
What isn't about my childhood?
Let me hear a dog say vuvuzela and I'll be impressed.
In honor of Mishka, why don't you make a donation today to either Gentle Giants Rescue, the Trevor Project, or TJ Martell Foundation for breast cancer. The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money is the CEO, you know.
That's right.
And, oh, by the way, thank you for all your nice letters about my mom. My mom had a, they found a mass and they did a biopsy and it came back negative.
Oh, good.
Yes. So thank you, everybody. Yeah, it was kind of an emotional week last week. That's why she couldn't come on the show last Friday. But she's doing fine, and thank you for all your sweet letters. All right. Oh, dear. Okay. I think maybe today may be the last day we read these letters, but this one, you know, Jim, how it is. It's just turned into a go, voice monkey, go request. Chris in Indiana. Steph, am I the only one who wondered if Tom Brokaw and Kim Jong-il have found out you're a ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha- you wish to hear from Tom Brokaw, break the news to Kim Jong-il. Sincerely, Indiana.
Well, this is Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News, with breaking news. Media whore and alleged Keith Olbermann's stalker, Stephanie Miller, has apparently revealed herself to be a lesbian. Only male listeners longing to appear on Miss Miller's allegorical future husband's list
were appalled to learn that the list is a fallacy. One of them, apparently, a Lilliputian clownish dictator Kim Jong-il.
Stephanie Miller, lesbian? I'm crushed! I was hoping to do the horizontal rambada with her and Rinzi Rohe. Not really, I'm not really crushed. Just send you rats and rats of videos. I'm beta! It's the wave of the beta. Future! Keep out!
They still use beta in North Korea.
Probably.
Yes.
Ah, dear. All right, guess who one of the other great letters I got? Rachel Maddow's daddy.
Oh.
You know, Bob and Elaine. Oh. We're all family. I've spilled wine on Bob and Elaine many times, and we're very, very close.
I think they're bigger fans of you than they are of their daughter.
Yeah, Rachel's told me that, yeah, which I don't really. I don't get, because she's only 1,000 times smarter and more successful than I am. I don't know. It's like, why can't you be more like that Stephanie Miller? What?
I think they meant the haircut.
I don't know.
Oh.
But Bob sent this along. Oh, wait, hang on a second. The breaking news. This is very exciting for our gal. Staff, I thought you and perhaps John Fugelsang would enjoy reading this. The Interfaith Alliance announced Monday it would award the 2010 Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Award to Rachel Maddow in honor of her work covering religion and politics. Former winner, Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw, I'm missing on you.
And Kim Jong-il has not won this award.
I've not won the award yet.
Congratulations, Rachel. He sent me that, and I said, thanks, Bob. Isn't it pathetic how I do anything to be more like Rachel? And he wrote me a love letter back. Steph, here's how I see it. You went through a long time of what had to be an intense personal turmoil and struggle, followed by making a deeply personal and extremely courageous decision, implementing it in a very public way at a time and a manner, which I thought was likely to be meaningful, influential. To me, that's a very big deal. It underscored for me what I've thought for a long time, fart jokes notwithstanding. You're one classy lady. Rachel Maddow's daddy. And then I hope your mom's battle is a successful one, blah, blah. Her written statement of unrequited love and support for you had tears rolling down my face as I wrote the words. I love my mommy.
I still love that she had a prepared statement and that she read to you.
My mom is a little confused. I had asked her if she wanted to come on the show, and because she has in the past.
Yeah.
But she gets nervous now, and was having her cancer biopsy and diagnosis, so she couldn't. But then when I called her later to home, I heard the paper.
Well, Stephanie McClure comes in with prepared statements sometimes.
I have some notes with which to commentate.
And then she goes off.
And she read me a prepared statement. I'm like, Mom, it's just me. And at some point I had to give up, because I was like, okay, I'll just listen. Statement. She's like, I have always been a very private person ever since the 1964 campaign. All right. It's cute. Cute, cute, cute. All right. Speaking of Rachel Maddow, love this one from Rebecca. Staff, as a straight girl myself, and I mean straight in the sense that I totally make out with Rachel Maddow, but I'm married to a boy. I think that's okay. That's a big subset.
Yeah. Right. That's an impulse buy.
I've often felt that heterosexual girls are biatches, and I really favor my gay girlfriends as much nicer people. I thought you were the exception, but it turns out that you prove it. On a more serious note, your path has taught me something about making assumptions about people. I guess I figured with how openly you fight for gay rights, you'd say so if you were gay yourself. I assumed you were straight. Hearing you talk about your decision to come out at this point really made me think about making such assumptions. Hopefully I can learn I don't have to attach either a label. Thank you! That's who does like labels? Nobody. To everyone about sexuality, of course, I knew that intellectually, but I believe sexuality is a fluid thing, and your story helps me get it on a more emotional level. Rebecca, who wants to make out with Rachel Maddow? But is
not our Rebecca.
Hmm?
Not our Rebecca.
No, that's another Rebecca.
Oh. Labelers like labels, by the way, and I hate labelers. That's what I call them.
This
damn Rebus.
Dawn, one of the many in the subset of women that feel they've lost a role model that are straight, childless, spinster losers like me. Hi, Steph. Your coming out has changed my life. I'm trying to adjust to the news. I wanted to believe your persona of being a single female who's called herself a slut. Well, that part's still true. I could relate to your persona as well as your politics. You taught me I could be confident in supporting Barack Obama. You desensitized me to words I didn't used to be able to like to hear, like fart. Yeah, I've done that for a lot of people. Now I don't know what to expect from your show. Will it be focused on the homosexual theme?
Computer says no.
No, I think today will be the end of it. I'm a 62-year-old woman who just didn't make it with any man for very long. Now I wonder if I must be gay. I don't think so. I think maybe I'm more just a left-wing slut.
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
Anyway, I may have lost a mentor. No, you haven't, Dawn.
No.
You're just a left-wing slut. Don't be so hard on yourself.
And Dawn might not be gay. She might just have taste.
All right, and one last one for the ecclesiastical MOOC. You asked me to save these for you, John.
Yes, I appreciate that.
The subset of I'm going to burn in a lake of fire. Hey, Pat Robertson hasn't checked in on this, Jim. What sort of lake I'm going to... heartburn and what's going to become of my internal organs.
Giblets.
Giblets. I can't remember. Things.
It's a long time ago.
The Boulabays of... No.
It must have been 47... God's righteous indignation.
I must have done 47 okay. versions of that one bit, and I just I can't remember anything else.
Still funny.
All right. Craig writes, Steph, yesterday, this was, you're talking about you last week, John. I heard for the second time the Bible doesn't say anything about women and women. However, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Romans, blah, blah, blah.
Right. St. Paul's letter to the Romans. The only homophobia in the New Testament.
If you say the Bible is mute on the subject, again, you won't be making a mistake. It will be a lie. You have been informed.
If a woman shall lie down with another woman, it'll be really hot. Right. I don't mean in the lake of fire.
He's warned us that we can't plead ignorance anymore about this. Look, St. Paul writes about Sodom and Gomorrah and says women gave themselves over to unnatural acts. For some women, that involves watching NASCAR, you know? I mean,
define that. What's an unnatural act?
Like for some women, unnatural acts is having sex with their heterosexual husband. I mean, this could pertain to the wrong kind of animal sacrifice.
Faking football is like practically a sacrament, for God's sake. Oh, I love it. Yes, Super
exactly
Bowl.
Right. And I would point out to this person that a lesbian pretending to be straight to please someone else is committing an unnatural act. Sorry, pal, it doesn't work. The number two most quoted biblical passage at weddings is from the Book of Ruth, and it's about two women. Sucka, you've been informed.
Ho!
Yeah. So, you know what? Seriously, if you're going to go all Bible on us, you better bring it when the ecclesiastical mook is in the hizzy.
Is it what?
Yeah.
As they say.
I'm in the hizzy, as Michael Steele says.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, Joe in Oklahoma City says, mark my words, Mama, Dr. Laura will be a Fox News host within a year. Yeah, I bet. She was on AC360 last night blasting Nancy Pelosi. Oh, dear God, one more shrieking harpy on Fox News. God in heaven. Oh, that'll be a soothing conversation when she's on with Laura Ingraham.
N-word.
And then Caribou Barbie pipes in. Wow, that's a trio.
Also, in addition.
Okay.
Ooh. Michelle Bachman, all is forgiven.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, more on the Islamic rec room in New York and the celebrity stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. Barbara in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Barb.
Hey, Steph. First of all, Mazel Tov on your one-week coming out celebration.
Thank you. L'chaim.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said L'chaim.
Yeah, L'chaim to you, too. I live in West Hollywood.
Ani otevet otach. Gamani montik.
Really a member of the tribe. I knew it.
No, don't talk back to her in Hebrew because she doesn't
know. I'm a member of every tribe.
You are indeed because you're a sweetie. I live West Hollywood adjacent and always thought that my gaydar was very right on. But when your announcement was made last Friday, I literally spit my coffee out from Burton Way to Santa Monica Boulevard.
All right. You had some Dr. Laura thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was the big buzz here in the neighborhood because her mother died in her condo in West Hollywood decomposing, eaten by cats. And, you know, if that's one thing that you can say you're immoral about, it's certainly that you neglect your mother and all of her BS about, you know, teaching people how to live. It is just so hypocritical with her kid, how she used to preach, you know, working mothers shouldn't be working while she was one herself.
Yeah.
It's, everything is like just so, I'm so thrilled she's going to finally be off the air.
I'm all for tough love, but then it's a fine line between just making people feel bad about themselves,
exactly.
You know?
And that seems to be her one goal in life, and I'm embarrassed that she pretended she was an Orthodox Jew for a while. I mean, you know, she still doesn't know who the hell she
right.
is.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Pretending to be a doctor, pretending she didn't pose naked.
Oh, by the way.
Another guy.
I need brain bleach to get those images out of my head. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, she has freedom of speech to claim she's a doctor when she's not, so she's be great.
Well, she is a doctor. She's a doctor of physiology, which has nothing to do with the mind.
Yes. By the way, the Isn't That Ironic file officially canceled. The Museum of Tolerance has come out against the mosque.
Yeah.
At Ground Zero.
No.
I don't think you can ever top that.
It ain't so.
Officially canceled the Isn't That Ironic file. So nothing
museum,
will ever be more ironic than
museum
that.
Museum of Tolerance is anti-Semitic because Arabs are Semitic people.
Let's go to a Clarence.
That is ironic.
Clarence,
that's true, Jim. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Clarence in Indiana on the mosque. Hi, Clarence.
Hello, ladies and gents. You guys are my favorite.
Thank ya.
All right. That's Stephanie and friends.
Yes.
But anyway, I want to comment on that mosque that they're planning to build or don't want to build or whatever. I'm for it. They can build anything they want to build there, you know, because of the fact that people fail to realize that back in Rosewood, back in the day, Rosewood and Oklahoma, they burnt the town down because of some false accusation by a Caucasian person. But mm-hmm. yet still, they built condos and everything else on that same spot. So, I mean, they don't have a leg to stand on. That's the right-wingers that's trying to distract everyone from thinking about the things that they've went against. So, I wouldn't yep. care. They could say the moon is falling. I am still voting Democrat all the way. I don't care. A dog can run in the race. I vote for the dog as long as he's a Democrat.
All right. By the way, American Muslims who support the proposed mosque and Islamic Center near Ground Zero are facing skeptics within their own faith, those who argue the project is insensitive to September 11 victim and needlessly provocative at a time when Muslims are pressing for wider acceptance in the U.S. So... I think people have different motivations coming at this from different, but it just seems to me if you start getting, you know, one of the founding principles like freedom of religion, if you start getting a mm-hmm. little bit like iffy on it, like, mm-hmm. oh, maybe not this one time in this one place, isn't that exactly what you need to stand with
Queens?
Principle?
Is that far enough away?
Yeah. There already are mosques downtown. And again, yeah. as far as sacred, there's a strip club right there. There's an OTB right there. And I admit there's a lot of praying that goes on in the OTB.
Yes.
But, you know, Muslims died on 9/11 too. Salman Hamdani was a 23-year-old ambulance driver who was found next to his EMT kit trying to help people when the yeah. towers collapsed. Shouldn't moderate Muslims have the chance to build this center and show that right-wing fundamentalists mm-hmm. are no more real Muslims and Timothy McVeigh was a real Christian?
Mm-hmm. Right. And the good news is it gives us an opportunity to still say, Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel. And I'm kind of proud that they are sticking to their guns and saying this is where they would want to worship.
Hit me with your best shot. Far away.
Hell is for children.
Do you guys remember back
my
in the late 80s?
My clone sleeps alone. What?
Do you remember back in the late 80s when the Catholic Church sparked an uproar because they wanted to build a convent and erect crosses on the grounds at Auschwitz? And at the time, American conservatives told European Jews to calm down because they said the Catholic Church has a right to redress past grievances committed in Christianity's name.
Huh.
These are the same ones now
no,
who are trying
different.
To deny that reconciliation yeah. to Muslims.
You
Why do conservatives hate our freedoms?
Well, you would hate to desecrate the sacredness of 9/11 by politicizing it in any way. And
yeah.
that's why Rudy Giuliani... had some words to say. About
he's got $180,000 in the bank. He wants to raise $100 million. Ask me how he's going to do it. Yeah. I don't know.
It's
you don't
impeccable.
Do it by creating this kind of vicious sort of angry battle that's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Jim, it would be like politicizing 9/11 in some way.
9/11, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Spickable. You don't politicize 9/11. You cash in on it. Come on.
Exactly.
Despicable.
And Rudy had to go with Newt Gingrich for defend the sanctity of marriage right
Perfect.
After that.
So Michael,
very sacred.
Mike in L.A. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing,
Good,
guys?
Go ahead.
Before I get to my point, may I request an official position from the Stephanie Miller Show?
Quickly.
Since I'm here in Hollywood with you, Stephanie,
yes.
and we could go out and pick up some hot chicks, may I be the official Stephanie Miller wingman of the Stephanie Miller Show?
So done.
Okay, then.
I'm afraid the hot chicks come to her, sir.
Yeah, hey, you know what? I'm not all that good looking. She's going to get the best of them.
Well, now you have to wait for your point. Now you've with all your falderol. All right, we'll be back with his point and celebrity stack and much more as we continue Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have always wanted to be a sexy lounge singer like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Except I can't carry tune.
No.
It is the, and I'm tone deaf.
That was the role she played in the movie.
And I'm tone deaf. I remember trying to do a musical at the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland, and the music director saying, "What do you hear? Do you hear what we're playing?"
Oh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34. I sounded like Misha, the dog singing, "I love you." Who's a good
Mishka.
Girl? Mishka? It's the husky on the internet that sings, "I love you." Do it again. I got to teach Max and Fred this weekend.
I love you.
Good girl. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Drew in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Drew.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi.
Quickly, when it comes down to, I guess, people claiming Christianity, the one thing about Christianity and one thing about the Bible has always been one of the most cherry-picked books ever,
yeah.
and will forever be.
It's almost like you're implying that some people twist Christianity like some people twist Islam, and you pervert it in some sort of weird way.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. And then I think what ends up happening is that you end up getting into conversations where certain things is common sense. One thing the Bible tells you is to research it. Tells you to research it for yourself, because in it you think that you have eternal life. So by even telling you that, it's telling you that you got to search these things out yourself the same way that you would search a book if you was in college, the same way. And what's happening with people is they're taking the argument. I guess they're listening to the argument, and certain things have to start to become common sense. I can't tell you that you're going to hell because you're gay, but I got six women on the side. It's something,
right.
Thank you,
You know, it makes no sense. And then what
happens? Do you have six women on the side?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
I was just checking.
No, were you applying to be number seven?
I was impressed. I knew I've learned one thing from this last week, Chris, and that is Art, my right-wing love muffin in Chicago, is still my one true love. Hello, Art.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, I had a crack-up when that fella called and said, if he's a dog and he's a Democrat, I'll vote for him. We got the same situation in Illinois. We're the worst state. We're $100 billion in the red. Mm-hmm. They want to raise our taxes, and they're going to spend more money. And in number 10 in the whole world is government that's supposed to go bankrupt. So we got a big bumper sticker on my truck. Vote donkey, get jackass.
Oh, that's a great one by Cracky.
You know?
Huh?
He's going to vote for dog because he's Democrat. We vote for him because they're jackasses.
I get it. Hard.
You got it?
I got it. That's a knee slapper. Thanks, Art.
Illinois Democrats have elected a few dogs, to be fair.
Bye, Cracky.
Tell me the story about the onion belt again, Art. All right. He did actually say bye, Cracky, to me once. Bye, Cracky, young lady.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways. One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a new heel for my shoe.
Oh, God.
So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time.
Sure.
Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them.
I remember
that. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say.
Yeah, sure you
now, would. Where were we?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was a style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war. The only thing you could get was those big yellow ones.
Hey, that's why they have yellow dog Democrats.
Oh,
by
I
Cracky.
Miss Paul Harvey so much.
He's like my own
Good
personal
day.
By Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story.
All right. Apparently some people think the Islamic rumpus room in Lower Manhattan's a bad idea. Guess what they're doing down there in Gainesville?
What?
Gainesville Church planning Burn the Koran Day is denied a permit, but they're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The ironically named Dove World Church,
whose
pastor Terry Jones has written a book called Islam...
Terry Jones?
Islam... No, not that one.
Now you're always complaining.
author 2 Cents Jackson.
He has written a book called Islam is of the Devil.
Oh, boy.
I wonder what his point is to that, so subtle. Which is emblazoned on a sign outside the institution. Is planning to host International Burn a Quran Day on September 11th. That's not inflammatory at all.
Who else used to burn books? Oh, yeah, the Nazis.
But the radical church ran into a new roadblock as the Gainesville city officials denied a burn permit for the church for the event, effectively telling them to do so would be illegal. The church, undeterred, sent out an email to supporters promising to hold the burning event anyway.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, the week before my dad died, he was really upset, not about death, but about this. My father was so furious that they were doing it, and, you know, he called it Christian supremacy. It's not Christian, and I do think that if they're going to do it, they should at least have the good taste and humor to do it with German accents.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
The Jews don't burn the New Testament every year on Kristallnacht. Am I right? Am I right?
Dave in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Stephanie. Dr. Laura, who the hell is she to say that people want to take her off the air and take her a message out in the First Amendment? This woman went to extraordinary lengths about a dozen years ago to get the funniest episode of Frasier pulled out of syndication, Dr. Nora. The only place you can watch it on the Internet, you do a search, Dr. Nora Frasier, comes up on Google Video. Mm. It is hilarious.
Yep.
And she had that pulled out.
Wow.
She had Paramount pull it out. Wikipedia claims it was because it invoked her mother, who wasn't a public figure.
Well, and by the way, you know, I know that she probably claims she lost her TV show because of gay people, you know, but it's like, once again, she didn't lose, she had her First Amendment rights back then. You can call gay people biological errors.
Right.
And then when people get their feelings hurt, oddly, by some crazy coincidence, and, you know, decide not to frequent your sponsors or whatever, that's, you know.
Well, freedom of
speech
doesn't
mean... Same thing with this latest
thing. It doesn't mean freedom of consequences for the dumb stuff you say.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I blame that commie Kelsey Grammer. She's a Republican.
She wants to shut me up, she wants to shut me up telling her that she is wrong.
Yes.
And she wants to take away my First Amendment rights.
Exactly. Troy in Milwaukee.
Hey, guys. First off, Seth, congratulations on coming out. Thank you.
Blah, blah, blah. I think we have a moratorium on that now, but thank you.
I don't care. Whatever.
All right, whatever.
Okay. And I also wanted to comment.
Congratulations on being from Wisconsin and being named Troy.
Well, congratulations to me. I'm the best ever.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to comment on some of the liberal cynicism to the Iraq war pullout. I just think that it's so silly just because, I mean, like we see on camera these people pulling out, and some people are like, oh, well, that's just a photo op. That's the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard. I don't think that a 50,000 troop pullout is a photo op.
Thank you.
And plus, we've had, we started the Iraq War in 2003, was it?
Yeah.
And we've had that amount of time we had 7 years to get things situated there among that, like, get a lot of the police people trained there.
Relief as an American to watch, you know, our fellow Americans get out of a unnecessary, illegal, and immoral war that we should never gotten them into in the first place. That's our first promise to our troops, to never send them into harm's way unless it's absolutely necessary. And we broke that promise to them. And we sent them in unprepared. And when I say we, I mean George Bush. But anyway, yeah, so I thought it was a magical moment to watch them finally get out.
And
also,
MSNBC covered it.
Isn't closer to when we can start at The Hague? Just asking. Where's Justin in Chapel Hill? You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, you know what's killing me about this Voss controversy is why aren't the Republicans outraged that we haven't caught the people that did the crime? That's the outrage. Not that there's going to be some church or recreation center. These people are still out there. This has been 9 years later.
There's nothing else built at 9/11 at Ground Zero.
Exactly. That's the party that keeps us safe, and they're so strong on so many things. It's the biggest crock. They're really frauds, and so they find something that they can talk about that's anything but the reality, which is those people are still out there. And if it's really this big thing, let's concentrate on prosecuting the crime and not worrying about a church or a mosque or whatever or a recreation center.
Yep.
Too much.
Exactly. Thank you, Michael in L.A. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. I'm glad that John's here for what I want to say. I'm thinking since McVeigh worshiped the Turner Diaries, the Christian Identity Bible, maybe we should tear down any church near the Murrah memorial site, and I'll add, maybe we should tear down any
church that's built near any medical clinic that was bombed for offering abortion, and we should also tear down the church where George Tiller was actually shot in a terrorist
attack. Yes, in a church, then, right, yeah, in front of his family.
Then maybe after all that, we can discuss a mosque planned near Ground Zero. Christians have done such horrible things to the people of this world.
Exactly.
Well, no religion, I think, is bad. It's the way people use it, whether it's Islam or Christianity.
Extremism. Well,
yeah. Bad.
No, fundamentalist douchebaggery is bad, yeah. Okay? The vast majority of Christians, Jews, and Muslims who aren't right-wing fundamentalist douchebags get along just fine. It's our douchebags against their douchebags. I had the privilege of being at the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City in 96.
Me too,
the
yeah.
moment when they brought the Olympic torch by, when they passed the Olympic torch by, and it was so moving, and they had erected a tiny chapel there, and I thought it was so beautiful, and they did it because McVeigh was a Christian, and they wanted to show that this was, you know, that Christianity was not about death and murder. It was about love and acceptance. And so I think that the decent, moderate Muslims who want to seek redress for sins committed in the name of their faith have every right to do this, even if it was in America where they're guaranteed the right to freedom of assembly and religion anyway.
Holla. Holla, back at you. No, holla. I, you know what? You raise a good point, John. I was there for my last canceled TV show, but I interviewed a mother of a kid that was killed in the Murrah, but he was a pizza delivery guy and was in the Murrah Building when it blew up. And you're right. It's like you can't have pain offs in this country to say that, you know, those people's pain is worse than the 9/11 families. It's all horrible. They all go through the same pain. I remember, you know, interviewing in her home, and the pain is years later was so real. And she was running the marathon in honor of the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing. And, you know, she said life is like a marathon. She goes, you know, some days are, you know, the wind's at your back, and some days are all straight uphill against the wind, you know, and it never gets better in some ways for people that have lost loved ones like that. And so you're right, it's like, how do you go, oh, this pain is worse, so you can't do that? You're absolutely right. You would have to say you can't build a church near the Murrah Building because he twisted Christianity to do this.
You know, Hitler killed Catholics in the Holocaust, so I supported when the church wanted to put a convent near Auschwitz. Innocent Muslims, lots of them, were killed that day in the World Trade Center, including an EMT guy I mentioned earlier, so I support the Muslims' right to do that right nearby. There are already mosques in the neighborhood. There's a strip club in the neighborhood, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and by the way, if you have a chance to visit the museum there, it is amazingly powerful. I mean, because again, you know, we since 9/11 is much fresher, we forget that tragedy on our own soil the last time and how really horrible that was. And, you know, I mean, if you look at, really, you hear audio in the museum and see pictures and remember babies being crushed and they were trapped in there. And I mean, it really was incredibly awful and just the same kind of perversion of religion, like you say. All right, 40. How do we get that? Serious.
Funny stuff.
Yeah, celebrity stack.
Oh, yeah, celebrity stack. Please. Blah. 46 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Play that funky music, why?
Girl.
Lay down the boogie and play that funky music till you die.
Till you die?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. Friends of the Stephanie Miller Show, both performing at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco all weekend.
All this weekend, yes. If you're in San Francisco in the Bay Area, come to Cobb's Cobb's Comedy Club.
That's almost sounded really dirty.
We are throwing it down. We opened last night. It's fantastic. It's just a really smart, funny show. We have two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, one Sunday, and tickets are going fast.
How might one get tickets if one were in San Francisco listening right now?
Oh, dear. I can let you know that in 30 seconds. You go to, I don't actually have their website right in front of me.
You just go to do a search for Cobb's Comedy Club.
Yes, exactly.
On Google.
That's what Chris said, yes. Your computer ways are strange to me in my abacus.
Find a phone booth somewhere and look in the yellow pages, for God's sakes. Reverend Johnson in South Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama's old school. Yes, Reverend. Hi, Reverend.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You know, I was listening at your show, and different one was calling in, and people made these, you know, comments and stuff about whether the Muslims should build a mosque or there or anything. and they calling themselves Christian?
Yes.
As a preacher, I find it very disturbing that they call themselves Christian, and yet there is nowhere in the Bible where Jesus fought against other religions.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Reverend. Yes, could you take your organ out for me? Hmm. Wow. Speaking of Christians, John, since you, the ecclesiastical mook, is here today,
word,
there's a few comments submitted by FoxNews.com readers.
Let's get them. Let's hear them. Let's knock them down.
These are presumed Christians. I hate, I'm just, they're actual posts. I hate Islam. In fact, I hate Obama. In fact, yeah. America will not recover unless this idiot in chief is removed from office right now. In fact, right. I can't stomach libtards. They make me sick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Fact, good all Christian. These Muslims should have been in the World Trade Centers instead.
Wow. There were
November,
Muslims.
There were Muslims. There
November
were Muslims.
Brings the needed change to put this country back on track. Time to clean out the Trade Center area. Muslims probably make good fish food.
Oh, my God.
Good Muslims are crispy ones covered in pig blood. Okay.
That's
I don't need to read any. Yeah.
Know your audience.
So the folks at the FoxNews.com.
So, bringing back things to where they used to be, you mean the administration that allowed 9/11 to happen in the first place?
Yes.
And, in fact, encouraged it in the project for the New American Century. Well,
all
that was
right.
Before there was an administration, but the neocons, who became part of that administration, Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Rice, oh my, all were signatories to that.
All right. The more important thing is Snooki has been legally declared annoying, which I think...
What?
About once time. In a while, the legal system does work. On top of charges for disorderly conduct and being a public nuisance stemming from her drunken arrest last month, Snooki now being slapped with a third charge of criminal annoyance. Very
is
rarely does the law get something right, but
wow.
This is one of those times.
They should cancel all of... reality TV, then. If that's
maybe Gilbert
statue.
Gottfried, too.
Gilbert Gottfried doesn't really talk like that. That's just an act.
It's true. I did
it's still criminally annoying.
I did a phone patch where the people were in several different cities, and Gilbert came on. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, it's Gilbert Gottfried. Okay, you're good. Oh, we're on? Okay.
So then the thing happened with that.
He's really a very soft-spoken guy.
Wow.
I'll remind Republicans, by the way, that John McCain tweets with Snooki, and Obama doesn't know who Snooki is.
Yes.
Who
do you want to
support?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that, that he's William F. Buckley before he goes on air, Gilbert Godfrey.
William F. Buckley Jr. You see the reason... excuse me, yes, I'm on.
So the thing has happened when that guy went out to the...
Yeah.
Okay. All right, hey, remember how Michelle Malkin did a thing about how all liberals are violent because Aisha Tyler made a joke on my show that she liked to kick Michelle Malkin in the nutsack?
Yes.
Those violent anti-war liberals.
I wonder what this could be about, Jim. The breaking news that shots were fired at Al Franken's condo.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Nobody was home at the time of the incident. They discovered the bullet hole when they got home. Minneapolis police have not said whether they believe Senator Franken was specifically being targeted, except for the fact that he's Al Franken.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing.
That's not Minnesota nice.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And this wasn't like an Eric Cantor bullet in the house where it's some drunken redneck firing in the air and it just hits the house? Right.
All right. Wow. You know, it's a tough economy out here, but these are the fun facts if you would like to apply to be J-Lo's new, not really sure what this is, main slave nanny something. The person has to be graceful under pressure, have a thick skin, be resourceful in foreign countries, among other things. You'll be expected to travel a moment's notice, must know how to adjust in each city. The job is 6 days a week, at least 12 hours a day with one day off, but you may not get off for weeks. You'll be on call 24/7. You got to be organized, always on point. You have to change diapers, work on little sleep, and cook if the butler's away. You have to know when J-Lo has her snack time. She won't say she's hungry. You're just expected to have food waiting.
Really?
Good luck to you.
Wow.
Good luck to you.
And her ass has more demands.
And then her ass has a separate rider.
Yeah.
Get Stone Trailer.
Iron Maiden, I don't know why this is breaking news.
What?
They partied at a bar in Norway. Their bar tab, $3,275.
Really?
Made its way onto the internet.
We're talking Iron Maiden's bar tab on the Stephanie Miller Show? What happened to hip-hop news?
Yeah.
In other hip-hop news, D-Listed says, who knew that Iron Maiden sucked on more slippery nipples than Gerard Butler at his one of his pool parties?
That's good.
There, yeah, on the receipt, there is an itemized line for slippery nipples.
Yes.
Yes.
Kelsey Grammer's gaseous gold-digging wife.
Kelsey Grammer.
Allegedly. Wants $71 million.
Wow.
Yes, his revelation that his new girlfriend is expecting his baby is sent to have infuriated Camille, who now wants
There we go.
More than half of his... What?
Well, Good news, Camille, is Levi Johnston single.
There is that.
All right. Go see John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks at the Cobb's Comedy Club up there in San Francisco. JohnFugelsang.com is the website. StephanieMiller.com is our website. I may or may not be on the Ed Show. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, we haven't received confirmation yet.
We'll send you a thing if we are. I'll be on the Twitter or the place with a thing. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.